Lord, I just thank you so much for the privilege of serving you, Lord. And Lord, that I get to do it with this great, great group of people here tonight, Lord, thank you. God, what you have orchestrated in this movement is far bigger and better than I could ever imagine. And God, thank you for allowing me to be a part of it, God. So God, I pray, Father, over these next minutes tonight together, I just pray, God, that you'd grant me the ability to communicate your word tonight. Let our eyes be open and our ears be open to hear so that we could march into this fall as one man with one purpose, one thought, and one mind. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. And Aaron and the team, thank you so very, very much for pouring yourselves out. Appreciate it. And wow, isn't it good to have cousins across town? Isn't it good? Come on, it's really good to have cousins across town. And if you can give me a little bit of lights and the auditorium, I'd appreciate it because I don't want anybody nodding off. And I don't want anybody making faces at me while I talk and I can't see it. So if you could give me all these lights, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. And how many of y'all just appreciated that time? I just so did. And to everybody who fasted and prayed the last 3 days in some way, shape, or form, even if you didn't do all 3 days, I just want to say thank you and appreciate it. I just really believe that fasting releases or postures us in a place where we can hear God. And I do have some things on my heart to share tonight, but kind of one of the things I wanted to share to start off with is that in January when we were fasting and praying, on one morning in prayer time, I just started writing down what I think about when I think about Bridge City Church. And I just started jotting down some things. And then later in the month, I kind of added to it a little bit. And this has just been kind of my go-to. And this isn't going to be up here. This is just from my heart. This is just, I've been carrying this with me in many different ways. Many of you heard me say this in different forums. But when I think about Bridge City Church, the things I dream about and the things I see and the things I long for is a place flowing with faith and life. A place that's contagious. That when people get around you, they get infected with the same Jesus that you got. I dream of the day that in every one of our locations, that there is a line outside waiting to get in. Because it bothers me that when I drive around town and all the restaurants and all the concerts and people will stay up all night waiting for tickets or to get in first somewhere, but why aren't they doing that with Jesus' church? I'm serious, I can see it. You say, wasn't that rude to make people wait in line? No, I'm serious. I mean, think about some of the stories in the Bible. They were cutting a hole in the roof. I mean, I think that's pretty desperate. The people are joyfully serving and that there's a waiting list to get on different ministries to serve. How many of y'all would like that? Come on, I can see it. That when the word of God's being preached, that people automatically open their Bibles and they begin taking notes. And they take notes, and we've been sharing this, all the campus pastors, we're gonna be a people that never close our notebooks. But our notebooks are open, and we're taking notes all the time. Because the moment you close your notebook is the moment you stop growing.
That's good.
I dream of a place when the first notes played for worship that everybody stands and just is like, I'm here for Jesus. Come on, where's my worship leaders at? You should have gave me a louder amen. That people generously and sacrificially and joyfully give. They can't wait to give the offering. As a matter of fact, if we said, you can give, there's a bad rainstorm and wind out there right now, no umbrellas, but to give, you have to go two blocks down, that you'd get just, oh, well, this is what we do. No, I'm serious. That kind of generosity and sacrificial and joyful, like, this is so good to give. That the hurting and hopeless are healed, helped, and heading in the right direction. And that those people that are far from God are reached, renewed, and in relationship with Jesus. How many of y'all want to share my dream for Bridge City Church? Come on. I've been carrying that. And as I was praying earlier today, I just felt like I just wanted to share that tonight. Because that's what I think about. And that's what I long for. Now, the problem is somewhere between there and where we are, there's a gap. And I want to help close that gap tonight. And hopefully you got a handout and you got something to take notes on there. But I want to remind you that leaders mobilize and motivate groups and teams of people to accomplish the vision. That's what leaders do. We mobilize and motivate teams of people to accomplish the vision. Multiplication is the result. So when we do what we are called to do, things multiply, things grow, things naturally expand. So if you're a leader here and you wonder what you do, you wonder what we do as leaders, we motivate and mobilize people for Jesus. And that's why it's so important to hear him. And I want to let you know and remind you tonight of why we exist. We exist so that only a few people. We exist so what? We'll begin a relationship with God and become fully devoted followers of Jesus. Now, these two statements are fun to make, but they're difficult to keep up. These two statements are really cool. We get together and we remind ourselves in this setting, hey, this is really cool. This is awesome. But somewhere between where we are and fulfilling these things, there's tension that we walk through. And I've been fasting and praying these last 3 days to break out of the plateau that we're in, because we're in a plateau. Now, I want to let you know there are worse things that could be happening, like decline. If you compare plateau with decline, plateau is wonderful. It's all a matter of perspective. Now, there are great things happening, but not to the degree that I read about when I read the book of Acts, and not to the degree I read about when I read about the power and the presence of Jesus Christ. And I long for more of him. When I say that, I mean more of the power and the presence of Jesus in my everyday life. That's what I'm longing for. And that's what I'm longing for you as well. And that's what I want here. And tonight, I want to help you connect the dots on how we're going to continue this movement, but how we're going to get to the next phase and the next place that God wants us to get to. And you know, sometimes before you move forward, you got to move back. So I want to go back to the foundation scripture of Bridge City Church. You know, I want to let you know, we have only had one vision in 37 years. We've only had one foundation scripture in 37 years. People have come to me recently and they said, well, I think the vision's changed. And I said, I don't know what's changed. It's the same deal. What Jesus gave us to do, we are still doing. We are continuing that movement. As a matter of fact, we are a multi-site, multi-generational church because our roots go back to Acts chapter 2. So when I say multi-site, I'm not talking about five locations. I'm talking about a whole bunch of locations, all of them that have taken place since Acts chapter 2. Let's never be foolish enough to think that we got a corner on the market and we're the way it should be done. No, let's never get there. Let's never have that arrogance and pride, but let's dare to humble ourselves and say, God, I want more of you and I need more of you. And so I'm going to go back to the foundation scripture, 2 Timothy 2:1-2. 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul is writing, Timothy, my dear, what? My dear? Be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. And says, okay, Okay, Tim, you've heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Here, my friends, is the key. That everything we receive, we're supposed to give away. Everybody in this room has something you can give away. As soon as you receive something, as soon as you pray the salvation prayer, and as soon as you say amen, you have something to give away. It's not about the smartest. It's not about the most gifted. It's not about having the right personality. It's all about, listen, everything I've received in relationship, my son, I am going to give away in faithful. So what we're looking for is we're looking for some fat people. We're looking for faithful. We're looking for able. We're looking for teachable. So faithful is defined in Matthew chapter 25 by multiplying what God has given you. God, you gave me 5 talents, I turned them into 10. You gave me 2, I turned them into 4. So faithful, Jesus defined faithful. Faithful isn't holding on to what you have. Faithful is growing what you got. That's good. And so listen, if you have 1 talent, you say, well, I'm only a 1 talent person. Thank God you're only attending to 1 thing. So take that 1 and turn it into 2. That's faithfulness. So we're looking for trustworthy, faithful people that have character in them that can pass on what we've been given. Able, or do you have an ability to communicate to other people? And then teachable. How teachable are you? You know what I love doing in church? Everybody ranks themselves way, way higher on the teachable scale than they really are. I'm just telling you, if I said right now, 0, you're not teachable at all, or 10, you're the most teachable person on the planet, take whatever number comes to mind and subtract 2. Yeah. Because in our own minds, we're the most teachable people on the planet. And the only way you know if you're teachable is if you ask those who you're working with, and your pastors, your leaders, your coaches, the admins that are working with you, above you, and you report to, ask them how teachable you are. And then, after they give you a number, say, okay, am I supposed to subtract 2 from your number 2? Because you're being nicer than Jesus. No, see, so we're looking for these kind of people, and these are the kind of people that shake the world. These are the kind of leaders that we're still looking for at Bridge City Church. That's what we're longing for, so we plateaued. Why do we plateau? I believe we plateaued because we forgot 2 Timothy 2:2. And we're wanting the campus pastors to do it, or the office to do it, or somewhere there's an office over there at North Braddock, and I think they should do it. No, we are one mind, one heart, one purpose, and that this is what we do. We pass our lives on to others. So listen, when you get down, whenever you get a little behind, I'm going to share something with you on how we break out of it. Recently, in a tennis match, I was down, and I was really frustrated that I was down because I thought for sure I was going to lose. And I can tell I'm starting to feel better. My back's healing. My legs are getting stronger because I'm back to hating losing. Last year, I was just so happy to play. And everybody told me, wow, you're just okay with this. And I can tell I'm back. And I was losing. And they said, I said, I'm not going to play for the whole game. I'm going to play for 1 point. I'm not going to play. I'm just going to play 1 point. And even the other night when we were playing, I said, 1 point. We were behind, 1 point. Just play for 1 point. Again, 1 point turned into 2, which turned into 3, turned into 4, then the game. And then pretty soon I was able to win my way back, and points turned into games. And I started winning, and I started feeling good because it was 1 point. You know what I learned about 1 point? You lose and you win 1 point at a time. Recently, my wife and I, we were playing a doubles match, and I don't know, we messed up and we lost a point. And my wife looked at me, Natalie looked at me, and she goes, okay, it's time to flush. Now we're going to bring up flushing? She goes, you need to mentally flush all the stuff out that's wrong and everything that's bad. Get rid of it so you can focus on the right thing. So now when she tells me to flush, I know what she's talking about. See, we win because points turn into games, games turn into sets, sets turn into matches, and matches turn into history. So how are we going to go back and win? By 2 Timothy 2:2, listen to me, we're going to go back and win one person at a time. One person at a time. We're not going to win by starting more campuses. We're going to win one person at a time. And then we're going to get one person at a time, then one more person, then one more person, and one more person. And then after you get so many people, our people are going to turn into groups and teams. Team leaders, hear me. Your team, your connection group, you're going to turn, because one by one by one turns into a group, turns into a team. And then groups and teams turn into a set. And then more sets turn into either multiple worship experiences at a location or more locations. Because then you got to win multiple sets. And then sets turn into a match and matches turn into history. And listen to me, I want to make some history. But how do we do it? One person at a time. One person at a time. So here we go. We can't forget one person. Everybody has two basic needs, purpose and relationship. Purpose and relationship. Everybody has an intrinsic need inside of you to fulfill a purpose that's greater than you and for relationship, to be connected to people around you. Those are the two basic needs. So in groups, or in teams, we fulfill purpose. I'm having a purpose. I'm a part of the whole. I have harvest hands. Every team in every location, you're harvest hands. In groups, you have family. You're getting relationship. And we're getting relationship. We're creating family like this. That's what we long for here. So our focus for the fall is follow me. Jesus's red letters, follow me. Me. This is our focus for the fall. Not just a series that we're going to do in September, but listen, we are going to focus on following Jesus. Warren, isn't that what we've been doing? Yes, but we're just going to zero in on this. We're going to zero in, and I'm going to explain what this means in just a minute. But Jesus's red letters of follow me and become my follower, they're found 23 times in the New Testament, in the Gospels. And the list listed on the screen is how many times in each. I challenge you, go find those. Look them up. Look up every time Jesus said, follow me, or if you want to be my follower. It's written different ways. Come on, we got to get this in our heart because Jesus is looking for followers, not acknowledgers. Anybody can acknowledge God, but we're not here to acknowledge him. We're here to follow him. And so how are we going to have more followers? By the people in this group, multiplying yourself. That's why apprenticing is so vitally important. Listen, what do new believers need most in their life? What does a new believer in Christ need most in their life? Did somebody say an old person? Old believers, there we go. They need somebody who's been around for a while. So new believers need mature believers. Do you know what mature believers need to grow? New believers. I'm serious, and we miss this. And if you focus on either or, you're going to have a tension that's out of whack. Because you're going to be filled with a church that has new believers that they're trying to figure it out, or mature believers that have been around so long, the church becomes all about them. Either extreme is wrong, and there's a tension that we have to feel here. But just because we sat in church so long does not mean that we're mature. I know a lot of people that have been sitting in church years, and they're very immature. Because little offenses come, and they grab that offense and they run. Come on, what's the program for our church? More of Jesus, less of? Yeah, that's the program. So there's a tension. We are a church for mature, deep, serious believers, and we are a church for the new, the broken, and the battered. We're a church for both. We're to equip both. We're to reach both, because you have to have. But we forget this, and we think we make it all about one. So what's a disciple? What is a follower of Jesus? Somebody who follows the teacher and the teaching. Somebody who turns thoughts into actions. They have a spiritual velocity. They're disciplined and obedient no matter what the cost. They pursue. They pursue. That's where that comes from. So are we followers of Jesus, or are we just good churchgoers? I don't want a church full of good churchgoers. I want a church where the people follow Jesus and know him and know his voice and know who he is and are excited to get to group. That's why we prayed for all the group leaders. Listen, why do we need to multiply groups? We got to multiply groups because we'll never be able to care for more people until we have more leaders that can do it. We'll never grow beyond our ability at Bridge City Church to care for people in a group setting. We'll never be able to move farther than that. So we pursue. So how do we measure this? Come on, how do we measure this? I already gave you our why. I gave you our why of what we do. And that's our we exist statement. And then what do we do? We aren't simple around here. Our vision is simple. Our vision is that we, come on, connect to God, connect to others, and connect others to God. But how do we do it? How are we going to measure this? How are we going to measure what we do here? Our mission. Come on, our mission. We gather to grow. We give and we go to make disciples, all for the glory of. Now, Matthew 28:18. I'm going to go quickly. I said, listen, worship's probably going to go long tonight, and I'm thrilled with that. I was so happy. Listen, I was just getting started. How many old charismatics out there? You're all just getting started. Come on. Like 40 minutes, you start revving your engine. Come on. And I was just getting started. But so I had a one-hour version of what I was going to share, 45-minute, 30-minute, and a 20-minute. And then I had, thank you for coming out. God bless you on your way home. I did that too. And I was like, God, if you don't want me to share tonight, I won't. But I just want to help you as a leader. I don't think I need. I might need it. I don't even know. Thank you. I do. Thank you. You're right. I do. So Matthew 28, Jesus, I've been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go make disciples, teaching, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all things. And lo, I am with you. Listen, whenever we stop, whenever we wonder where the presence of God is, we need to go back to these verses right here. Because this is a promise that God will be with us. So whenever we get as a church and wonder, hey, wait a minute, where's the presence of God? We go back to here. Because I believe when we start going into all the world with Jesus' authority, making followers of Jesus, baptizing them to identify with him, obeying, Jesus will begin to, he'll show up. Come on. Jesus says, I want to be there to see it. So I want to give you the how of our mission. Come on, are you connecting the dots tonight as a leader? Come on, my goal is this is going to be some teaching that you receive, but that this is going to be something that you begin to share with everybody and anybody that will listen to you. In every group, in every conversation, let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about what he's doing. Let's talk about, listen, I want you to get those wins off of the email, right? Did I say it right? This week, yeah, this is an email. I'm sorry, I'm like, my mind's racing. And it's food deprived, so I'm a little like. So get those wins and share them with everybody. Cool. So we're going to gather people in. So how do we gather people in? We get them to identify with Jesus by salvations, baptisms, transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Those stories need to be told. There are stories right now of people's lives being transformed. So we're gathering people. It's all good. We're gathering people in. God's saying, a little shorter, Rick. God said, I put it down there once. Don't pick it up again. Yes, Lord. Come on, we're going to gather people in. So we measure that. We gather people. So when we talk about baptism, who should be leading people towards baptism? Who? Yeah, not the person running this, each worship experience, not the MC, but us-ins should be doing it. Hey, are you baptized yet? Oh, let's get, oh, you got to get baptized. Oh, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit? You never even knew there was a Holy Spirit? Oh, we've been waiting for you. Give us 15 minutes after church. We can take care of that. I know a guy. His name is Tom. You will not leave until you speak in tongues. Come on, every campus has one. If not, every campus needs to get one. Come on, okay, growing, groups. Come on, we grow. We grow people to reach their full potential. So how do we grow people? You got to get into a group. You got to get into a team. That's what Next Steps is all about. Who should be inviting people to Next Steps? Everybody, come on, that's what we do. Because we want people to get on in a group and on a team. This is our vernacular. This is what we say, you got to get in a group, you got to get on a team, because this is where we experience family. Got to. See, that's how we grow. We want everybody to be in corporate worship, and we want people committed to prayer and the Bible personally and corporately. Then we have these things called Victory and Freedom Weekends. They're coming up. If you have not been to a Victory and Freedom Weekend, and you're a leader, you're in this room right now, I'm begging, pleading with you to please get signed up. Get there. And Phyllis, raise your hand. I think you're leading the ladies, right? And I don't know what the ladies are leading with you. Or else I'd... Rachel? Oh, Rachel, raise your hand. Oh, there we go. Them two. And then, and who else? Charisse, raise your hand. Look, these are nice ladies. They're very nice ladies. They're gonna care for you and help you like you never believe. And then Matt and Sean, they're not really nice ladies.
No, we're not gonna care.
They're gonna care for the ladies. You're gonna beat up the men. Very good. Thank you for that clarification. But you need to get to Victory and Freedom, and you got to get signed up ASAP. Then it's up to us. We share the vision, because why do we do Victory and Freedom? So you can get victory over your past and freedom to live into your future. That's the byline right there. Let me tell you about it. And you can talk to about what that means. Oh, you've never been there and you're afraid? Okay, I was too. I'll go with you. And then tell them, because God knows I need it. No, don't say Pastor Rick needs it. Tell him you need it. See, these are ways that we grow. Giving. We give of our time, our talent, and our tithe. We give of our lives sacrificially, generously, and joyfully. Greatest ability is our availability. Come on. We love to give of our talent. We love to give of our tithes. We love to give these ways. Are you with me? These are awesome things. This is how we give of our lives. See, I want you to connect the dots tonight. Are you connecting the dots tonight? Come on, I don't just want you to connect the dots tonight. I want you to carry this with you so that you can share the vision, you can share the direction, and we can start seeing 2 Timothy 2:2 come alive again. Because that's what I want to see. Come on. Multiplication. And then we go into our world with Holy Spirit-led lives, expanding the kingdom of God. That is as short as I can share the how we do what we do, but I wanted to connect those. You want to know why? This is important because we're not sharing the same thing down. Somewhere along the way, we're losing our power of sharing and having one voice, one mind, one purpose, one heart. And I'm trying to help you tonight. And as the campus pastors got together, we said, we got to go back and share the basics of what we do, and how. Because let's not lose this. Let's never lose sight of Holy Spirit-led lives. We still believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to jump off of that. I was going to get into how you have conversations. I'm just going to trust that campus pastors will, because there's some things you need to know tonight as leaders. Things you need to know. I'm switching gears here. So a couple things you need to know. And the elders and pastors have been meeting. We've been praying about this great vision that God has given us. This is not my vision, it's God's vision. To be honest, this vision that God's given us is way bigger than I can even imagine. And I still have the fear of God on me about it. But the fact is, in each one of our locations, the vision is bigger than we are fulfilling right now. And I'm not saying that condemnation-wise. We have some limitations. We have some limitations buildings. We have a major limitation in Murraysville. We have a building that's way too small for us with not enough parking. Brighton Heights has that situation here. Although their building's paid off and we're paying a lease. A little bit of a difference, but same issue. East Liberty is going to need a place to meet. Or, I mean, pretty soon they're going to have to go to two worship experiences on Sunday. And they got a team of about 80 meeting there on a regular basis. There's about 80, am I right? Average 80. That's a lot to put on 80 people. So what we have decided that we're gonna need to begin a capital campaign at Bridge City Church. Why? Because the vision that God has given us is so big, and it's yet to be fulfilled. Because I haven't seen Jesus come back on the white horse. Until he comes back, we're gonna keep doing what he's asked us to do. So that means we're praying about how to do it, which locations are gonna be doing what. We're still processing and praying, but I'm letting you know, a capital campaign is coming. If you don't know what that is, that's a fancy way of saying we're gonna raise a whole bunch of money for facilities and projects so that we can fulfill God's plan that he's given us. And the last people that we spoke to, the numbers they were giving us of what we could do literally blew my mind. I'm sitting there like, they gotta be kidding. And I was embarrassed because they have more faith than I do. And they challenged me. I literally had 3 sleepless nights after they came. I literally could not sleep. I was up literally at 3:30, 3 in the morning, all night long, just because God, please stretch me. Expand what I'm doing. I literally, that was me. So you're going to be hearing more about this in the months to come. We're figuring it out. We don't have it figured out, but we're figuring it out. The next thing I want to share with you is about White Oak. In White Oak, they have a facility that they lease. And actually, they're beginning their second worship experience this Sunday. Isn't that fun? Come on, that's exciting. And I shared Sunday, how long are you going to do 2 and until they can fill them up and do 3? Then after 3, they're going to do 4. Unless they can get a different facility that can seat more people. Because there's a move of God going on. And I'm so happy about all our cousins down in White Oak. Aren't you? Amen. Come on, I am. I'm proud of them. Proud of every location. So there's a facility in White Oak right now that we have walked through and we've looked at. And it is, North Braddock, to give you an example, is like 33,000 square feet. This facility is 57,000 square feet. It's, it's a school building, and it hasn't been occupied for 10 years, am I right? Seven years. We're just praying right now. No decisions have been made. I'm just letting you know we're praying. We're processing. Because we're going to have to do something to facilitate the vision and the ministry that God's given us. And so we're processing. I just want to let the leaders know what's happening. We've already had a meeting with the leaders in a small group of leaders in White Oak. They're going to continue to pray it. We're going to continue to process, see what God does. But it's on 7 acres? Okay, 5 acres. My lawyer says 5. See, soon as you say something a little off, the lawyer, you can just look at him and he'll look at you. That's a good sense. No, it's not 7, it's 5. I didn't want to give evangelistic numbers to the acreage. So we're praying about that, and we're praying about all these things. But we're praying for a move of God to continue. Are you with me? Did you hear tonight how you can help do that in your groups, on your teams, multiply who you are, group leaders? You are so vital to what God's doing. So I'm going to go over a couple vision opportunities here. And I already mentioned the Victory and Freedom Weekends. This is an overnight retreat where you start on Friday night. We ask you to be there by 6 o'clock. You stay overnight, and you stay all day Saturday till 9:30 on Saturday night. You have your meals there. You stay. You cannot come. You can't pick and choose. You got to go to the whole thing. Every single person that has only gone to a part and not the rest has come back way worse than they went. I'm just being honest. Because they begin opening up all the stuff of their past, and they didn't get healed. And I'm telling you, it's really not good. So Victory and Freedom's coming up. The dates, we have those dates. Or they're not on your sheets, I'm sorry. They're right in front of you there. I'm asking you, as I already said, to go. But I'm asking you to begin sharing this with anybody and everybody. Have you been there? Have you been to Victory and Freedom? Let me tell you what you can expect. You can expect a personal time with God, where there's not so many people there that you're just a number in a crowd. You're going to get personal attention. You're going to get personal love. You're going to do an inventory of your past. And we're going to help break those things off your life and give you victory over your past and freedom into your future. That's how you explain it. And you're going to stay for the whole thing, and you're going to like it. Then we have our Overflow conference coming. The ladies. Two nights. Got a guest speaker coming in from Bethany Church in Louisiana. Pastor Larry, or Jonathan Stockstill's church now. Pastor Larry turned it over to him. And ladies, I'm asking you to be the biggest cheerleaders for this event. Ladies, I'm asking you to be the biggest cheerleaders for this event. It's all about hope. It's all about stirring up hope in your life. Holding on to hope through the dark times and launching into your future with hope. How many of y'all ladies could use a little more hope in your life? Okay, you got to get signed up. Actually, this Sunday is the last Sunday to get the discount. Now, if you want to wait till after Sunday, thank you very much for your $10 donation. I appreciate it. But we're trying to help you get a discount here. So get online, get on the kiosk, get signed up because we want you to get there. Amen? Can you do that? Okay, that's right. That's where I want you to get to. So, ladies, that's where I get signed up. Please, did I give enough direction for that? It's Friday and Saturday. Guys, Band of Brothers is going to be one night, one day. It is, it's November 2nd, Saturday from 8:30 until 3. We just switched it up a little bit this year to see how it works. We'll be the guinea pigs to see how it works. And so, guys, I'm asking you to write that date, put it aside. See, when you're called to do something, like lead, everything else is subservient to that calling. Like when you're called to be married, everything else is subservient to that, right? You don't... See, the call of God is on your life, so that everything, your calendars line up with that. So write those things down. I'm asking you to get there. And then Leadership Connection, our next one is December 7th. It's at Murraysville. And I just saw that. It's on my notes. Thanks, Ashley, for putting those on my notes. I appreciate it. And it's at Murraysville. It's going to be a Saturday morning, and we're going to have a great time. So write down those dates. And then last but not least, we'll be doing a New Year's Eve worship service. All together, one church coming together. We're talking about doing baptisms. So we're just going to get together. It's going to be early in the night. It's probably going to be like 7 o'clock, be out the door on your way by 8:30. In there, it's not going to be a late deal. It's not going to be like midnight worship. We're going to do it early. It's just in my heart and in the pastor's hearts that we get together and worship Jesus together on that last day of the year and maybe do some baptisms and rejoice and have fun together. Doesn't that sound like a good time to you? Sounds like a great time to me. I got one more minute, and I'm so excited about our A-Team event. At the zoo, we have 280, do we have another number? 280? Higher? They're calling in right now? They're calling in. The zoo's calling. Hold on. The zoo's calling. What is it? 302. 302 people coming to the zoo am I right? Okay, I thought I said that right? Did I say it right? Oh, okay. I thought maybe I said it wrong. So all these people are coming to the zoo. What you're going to do is you're going to get there. You're going to get your wristband outside. They'll meet you. You'll get registered. Then you're going to make your way in. People will be directing you to where we're going to have a short presentation. You're going to have a short presentation, a chance to win really cool gifts, a whole bunch of them. And then we're going to you're going to get a box lunch, and then you're free to enjoy the zoo time. Now, the gifts are only for A-team members, not for children and for those not serving that come, you know, with you. Those are specifically, but lunch is for everybody that registered. So everybody that comes will get everybody that registered will get a lunch that day as well. So doesn't that sound like a good idea? Come on, let's stand to our feet. I'm going to pray a blessing over you. I'm going to keep my word, be done at 9 o'clock. How many of y'all are glad you came across town tonight? How many of you are really glad it was a Brighton Heights and you didn't have to cross town tonight? I love getting together with you guys. Let me just speak a blessing on you, and when I say amen, you're released. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every person here tonight, Lord God. Thank you for helping us connect the dots. Thank you for refreshing us and renewing us. Thank you, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit presence. I pray for the greatest fall we've ever had with salvations and people becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus. Protect everybody on their way home and help people make wise decisions as they eat tonight after this fast. In Jesus' name, amen. You are free to roam about the country. Have a wonderful night in Jesus' name.